Welcome to Deep Dive into Water Safety. This is a special edition interview that's going to be played tomorrow or today as you're listening. It's with Alyssa Magrum, who is the executive director of the National Drowning Prevention Alliance, and Norm Ryder, who is the co-founder or founder of Blue Planet DI, which we're going to talk about, which is a spatial geo mapping, but we'll get to him later. Let's start with Alyssa. Welcome, Alyssa, back on the show again. You're always a pleasure to talk to. Tell us what the exciting news is about the National Drowning Prevention Alliance.
Okay, well, thank you and aloha. It's kind of funny because we can just like we're actually sitting a couple miles apart. We're
I
usually
know.
an ocean apart when we do these shows. So I am really honored to be back on here, back, and I'm honored to be on your island, which we'll talk about why I'm doing what I'm doing here now. But from the National Drowning Prevention Alliance, historically or in the last few years, the NDPA has put a lot of focus on younger children, ages 1 to 4, because drowning is the single leading cause of death for ages 1 to 4. So certainly that age group is at risk. However, we do know that people of all ages are drowning in all kinds of water, and so we are opening our focus a bit to encompass really all ages and all water, which I am really excited about as a lover of the open water. And I spend a lot of time when I lived in a warmer place than I currently live now. I would do a lot of swimming in open water, do more paddling on open water. But we're losing people of all ages in all kinds of water. So we are opening up our focus a bit and developing some strategic partnerships to support that, so that we're not just talking about, we are certainly still talking about children drowning in pools and more closed water, but we're really opening it up to try to talk about, drowning is preventable of people of all ages and all water.
That's great. And so that's why you're here on Kauai. We're going to talk about that, which is exciting. But there was, I just, before we get on to that, there was one really interesting project you have going with your organization, Wave Maker. I thought that was very
Oh,
cool
the
project.
Wave Maker Tour. Yeah. So technically it is, we are supporting it, but Jonathan St. Clair, who he and his wife, Julie Lo Piccolo, founded the Jasper Ray Foundation after they lost their son Jasper 12 years ago in a backyard pool drowning. He was under the care of a babysitter and tragically drowned. And they've been working in this space, have been really engaged, and obviously their foundation, the Jasper Ray Foundation, but also the California Water Safety Coalition. And Jonathan is a board member of the NDPA. So about a year ago, he called and we had a conversation. He said, "I have this really crazy idea and let me know what you think." And he said, "Jasper never got to play baseball because he drowned at 21 months old. But he had a baseball hat and someone gave him a baseball glove for his first birthday, but he never got to play." So Jonathan wanted to do something that was positive, to honor Jasper, but also to bring incredible awareness and funds to drowning prevention. So he is currently, I can't remember what game it is, maybe it's day 12, but he is visiting all 30 Major League Baseball parks in 30 days. He started in Seattle on August 17th and he finishes at Dodger Stadium on August 15th today, which will be yesterday when this airs. But he is in Atlanta at the Atlanta Braves. A good friend of mine and person that I work with in the water safety space, Craig Sears, is at that game. He's told me there's 70 people that showed up at that game to support Jonathan. So he's basically going every single day. He's at a different baseball park and he's starting the wave, getting the crowd going. Just he wears a life jacket and he wears his blue Wave Maker shirt at every game and he's just starting the conversation. We got to be with him at the Colorado Rockies game, which was game 4 of 30. And I was like, he is going to be one tired dude at the end of this. But it's cool to see the conversations that he's having. He's got some flags that he draws attention to himself. And, at the Rockies game, the guy in front of us turned around and said, "Hey, thank you for what you're doing. I'm a retired firefighter and now I'm a lifeguard at a pool in the Denver area. And this is so important." So similar to Paddle for Life, which is we'll talk about later, it's bringing awareness and doing things that may sound crazy or epic, to draw attention to the fact that this issue needs more attention, it needs more funding, it needs more resources. And so anyway, Jonathan is a very good friend of mine in this space because I work with so many parents, and I'm just honored to get to be part of it. We've been just kind of helping along the way. But yeah, I think he's on day 14 or something of 30. He has a long way to go, but he's gaining momentum as he goes.
That's
So
very
cool.
innovative. And I have to say, for people that don't know who you were on our first show a year ago because of your work with the US National Water Safety Plan. And you came on and talked about that. And then you came on again and talked about your work. And one of the things I say all the time that you've said is, water safety was never in my toolkit as a parent. And I say that over and over again because I'm around a lot of younger people who have kids. And even when I would had my kids, I didn't think about those kinds of things particularly. So.
No, and so many of the families that I have the honor to work with, said, we didn't know. We didn't know. And so how do we help them know? I mean, I feel like I say that all the time. What can we do to help them know and help them know what they can do to prevent drownings and keep their families safer? Again, all ages, because, as I've been traveling around to just here, you see every age that are navigating some waters with currents and, different. It's not a calm, most of us learn how to swim in a calm, clear pool with ladders and steps and easy ways to get out. And then we have to, navigate open what we go to then lakes, rivers, beaches, and we try to use the tools that we got in a calm, clear pool and apply them in a environment that is very, very different. So yeah, definitely was not in my toolkit when, when my
So,
daughter lost her preschool classmate. And you got to meet my daughter today. So that was cool.
So let's go on to the exciting thing that's happening right now. What is it? It's Paddle for Life, Kalani, which is Vieira, who is the chief head of Ocean Safety Bureau and president of the Hawaii Lifeguard Association, took on a mission, right? One man, one mission, 100 miles, right? For drowning prevention. And so you contacted me and said, we're changing, we're expanding, and we care about open ocean. I want to do this. So tell
Well, I
everybody
think
what
it's funny.
happened.
I've, yeah. So, well, first I made a donation and there was a little button that said, get in the lottery to paddle with Kalani. And I was like, sure, I don't play the lottery, but I'm going to play this one. And so I, whatever, made my donation and again got in the lottery. And then I reached out to you and just said, hey, if there's a chance that I could paddle as part of this, like that would be amazing because it really, A, I enjoy stand-up paddling. And B, I felt like it would be a way to really walk the walk. Paddle the paddle of the work with the NEPA and to show up and support something that really that is out there and that gains some attention. And so you made it happen. Thank you. So
Well,
I
it's
got
happening now, and I want to hear about your experience because I was there this morning. So, for everybody listening, it's 3 days. It started today. Kalani is going around the entire island, 100 miles,
Amazing.
for drowning prevention and raise awareness and to
And
raise
funds and
funds.
lots of funds.
For all the things that we do for the lifeguards and for everybody else on the visitors and locals to keep everybody safe. And so let's talk about it started today and it was very nice. There was a nice pule that was done to start the initiation. And we had Captain Andy's very nice donation of giving us a boat, right, as an escort. It was very safe. Everything was very safe. And
Yeah, there was a
you were
boat
the
and there was
only,
a jet ski.
were you the only woman in this? There were.
I think there was one woman from the canoe club that jumped in, but I'm not sure what she did or I'm not sure. But otherwise, I guess so. I hadn't even really thought about that. But I was
Okay.
certainly the only one on a stand-up paddleboard.
Yes.
There's
Okay. So,
everybody else was paddling outrigger canoes.
OC1s. Yes. Okay. So,
Yes.
what happened this morning? Tell us, because I
Yeah,
saw you
well,
get in
so
the
we
water.
left. Yeah, I was a little nervous about like getting past the surf break, but that was fine. It was nice and got out there and all the OC1s were out there, and then Kalani came out there and we just started paddling around. I paddled, it was about 10 miles. I did get on the jet, have the jet ski jump me forward a little bit because I did about 7 miles just because I was slower then and I did not want to be splitting a safety team. I didn't want to be, a liability. So we just agreed on the safety plan yesterday when I met up with Kalani that if I needed, if they got that much farther ahead of me, they would just put my stand-up paddleboard on the jet ski sled and then jump me up. And I said I'm ego backward, honestly. Like that is fantastic. I'm, paddling. I live in Colorado, so I'm used to paddling on, cold lakes that can get windy and stuff, but I wasn't really, honestly wasn't sure. And I definitely did not beyond my ability. And I think I did. I felt great out there, slow, but really good. I only fell off one time, and that was really at the end when we were coming into the Port Allen little channel or whatever. And I was on my knees because it was really windy. And then I went jumped up and then I just like went over, but it was fine. I have a life jacket on. I mean, that was important to me that I was paddling in a life jacket and had a leash. And but no, it was amazing. And the part that I have a work with a family, the Cerami family, and they lost their daughter Elise to a drowning. It was about a decade ago. I'm spacing on the exact year, but I've worked with her mom Lori for years. And when I posted on Facebook the other day that I was coming here and doing this, she sent a message and said, Kauai was one of Elise's favorite places, and her ashes are actually scattered here on this island. And so in that moment, I knew that I wanted to dedicate my paddle to all the families, but really I wanted to call on Elise's spirit out there on the water. And I had this really cool moment where I was looking down at the water and I didn't have my sunglasses on. So I think this is not like an illusion of my glasses, but there was like a rays of light coming up from the very blue water. And it was like in my mind, I was like, I felt like her spirit just out there. And I was telling Kalani because we were doing a little talk story when we were paddling. And I was just, when I would stroke on my right, I would like say one of the names of the family members that I know that has been lost to drowning. And when I would do a paddle stroke on the left, I was thinking about those that we were going to save, that are not going to drown because of the work that we're doing. And for me, I get emotional. For me, being out there is about bringing attention to something that deserves so much more attention. So I'm just really honored to get to participate. I get to jump on and do the last leg on Saturday. But we got some, he and I got to talk story a little bit when we were out there. He was very kind and paddled at my slow speed for a bit. And then I was like, you need to go. I don't want to be stopping up your 100 miles. But we were really talking about how important it is that people know that drowning is something they need to think about. And why is it not something that we all think about until we've been impacted, until, in my case, until Ella lost her preschool classmate, Colin Holst, to a drowning. And suddenly it became, oh my gosh, I hadn't thought about this. Or so many families say they didn't know. So we had some really good words about that. And then the jet ski pulled up and let us know that he had just gotten like a $10,000 donation, which is amazing. While we're out there, last time I looked, he was up to $43,000 towards his 50,000 goal. I don't know if that 10 was in there, but it just felt so positive, similar to Jonathan's Wavemaker tour. Like it feels really good to do something that is not as heavy because this is a heavy topic. And I know for me, being in this space for almost 20 years now, it's heavy. I mean, sometimes it is, it's you do all this work, you do these programs, you do all this awareness, and then you still see drownings happening. And sometimes it's a beat down, honestly. It's like, what are we doing? So when there's positive things like this, like I'm very grateful that my board, the NDPA board, said yes, we support you going and participating, because to be part of things that are positive and to be part of things that are gaining attention and bringing this drowning prevention messages to people who might not have heard it otherwise. I've had great conversations with a gentleman who was sitting at the gate in San Francisco when I was getting ready to, or Denver gate to go to San Francisco. Had a really fantastic conversation with a guy that was sitting there. And he's like, "What are you doing?" And I talked to a lot of people. So it was, but as I when I went to go pick up our bag at the airport, because our bag didn't make it on our plane, the woman at the United Airlines counter, she gave me a little flower, plumeria flower for my hair, and she said, "What are you doing?" And I told her, and she like grabbed my arm and she said, "That gives me goosebumps because this is something that so many of us are impacted by." So this is, I'm just really honored to be here, and I'm glad that I was not over my ability in the paddling part. And I'm excited for,
You still have
Saturday.
another leg to go, Alyssa.
That's
Right?
good. I'm good. Don't you worry.
I think this is really not just a local issue or a national issue. It's a global issue, like the WHO says. Anyone can
Yeah.
drown, no one should,
No one
right?
should. Yeah.
And I think what
Saturday was
Giovanni
roasting.
said in our little circle before he paddled is drowning prevention should be in everybody's conversation every day. And I agree with that. And
Yep.
he also alluded to me before they paddled that this shouldn't just be a one-time thing. We should make this an annual event
Annual
and get
thing.
more people involved, canoe clubs and six man being involved, people from other parts of the world coming over. It becomes a global issue for drowning prevention. And what a better place to have it in Kauai. And as you said, the ocean is a very healing place. So I
Yes, and we
agree
were
with you.
talking about that. We were talking about that when we were paddling, because I asked him the question. I said, for me, I love the water. I love the ocean. It is, it is my happy place of, but I also work in this field where it is a very tragic place and it is a very dangerous place. And like we were talking about, how do you balance that? Like that's such a, for me, it's one I think about all the time, because I work with these families who some of them won't go to the water because they've had the trauma, they've lost someone. And it's a thing for me. I mean, I feel at home. Like today when I was out there paddling, I was a little nervous because I thought, oh my gosh, I feel like we'll be in the open ocean on this like 10 foot or 12 foot, whatever it was, stand up paddle board. And
Laird Hamilton board, by the way. Yes.
Laird Hamilton board, which is so nice. And you know what? I never felt nervous once I got out there. Once I got past the surf break and just started paddling, it was like, this is my happy place. And I'm grateful that I have that, because I know that that's not what it is, what the water is for a lot of people. So if we can help people be safer around water and learn how they can be safer, because there are simple things. So yeah, I think he's in. I've been watching the social media stuff, and it's gaining a lot of traction. It's interesting to see people's comments and how many views that the posts that have been, happening over the last day are have gained traction. So yeah,
Well,
amazing,
I
amazing
think
stuff.
you should take some credit for that. Being the executive director of the National Drowning Prevention Alliance brings a lot of exposure here for us, and I think it's great. I think it was he Kalani has been very instrumental in doing collaborations. He's done it with Aishi Otono, with the Okinawan lifeguards, of which he told me Atashi has worked for 20 years to get lifeguards and water safety going. And Kalani's worked with him on jet ski skills, and that elevated Tashi
Oh, wow.
Otono's credibility with the government. And now they're fully funding, he told me, what they're going to be doing. And so
That's
Kalani's
amazing.
going over in October, and he collaborated with Bruce Hopkins, who is from Bondi and came over and did a rip current clinic that he wants to do every year here.
I want to go to that. So if you do it again, I want to come
We
back, because that
will.
sounded amazing.
Yes. So
Yeah.
he is very a visionary, and he's very skilled. And on top of that, he's very generous and a humble person and such a
Oh,
legend in Hawaii. So
yeah.
when you brought in your whole group and that exposure, I think that just was really great. I really appreciate you coming out and doing that. I really do.
Well, I love it, and thank you, because I believe in collaborations deeply, and I got the honor to work with the Hawaii Water Safety Coalition when they were doing
Yes.
their writing the
Yeah, there it
Hawaii
is. Yes.
safety plan. And yeah, I carried it with me because I wanted to reread it on the way here. And it has, getting to work with them and get that strategy out, and then knowing that this is bringing more awareness. When we work together, we can do more. That's the bottom line.
I
So,
agree with that a lot. So,
yeah. And I mean, this is not a bad place to come visit. So,
you tell us how people could donate, since I don't have that information on me exactly. Do you have the link for that?
If you go, if you go to the Hawaiian Lifeguard Association website, there's a whole thing about the Paddle for Life event, and there's the link is there, so you can go there. And I would invite people, please, if $5, $5,000, whatever, everything in between, $50,000, but everything in between, every dollar helps. And I definitely know that he's gonna crush the 50,000 goal. And that does that those funds are supporting programs on this island. And so yeah, whether you live here or somewhere else, we do see visitors and residents drowning on this island. So if you're hearing
Yes.
this and you're visiting, and if or if you're hearing this and you live here, then make a contribution and share it, because I think I just sent the link to a bunch of people via text this morning and put it on my Facebook page, and I know that have people said they've donated. So every little bit helps get to
It's
that
not an
goal.
easy feat where he's going around where nobody will be able
Oh.
to go around the Pali Coast. It's going to get very difficult, and it's going to get difficult coming back against the winds. So
Yep.
Tyrus, who's a lieutenant, is going all the way with
Yep.
him, which is really great. And then he's got some other OC paddler Ohana friends, but they're not going the whole distance, just Tyrus is.
Yep.
And that's pretty amazing. And
Yeah.
as the chief said during our little circle, Mike Gibson said to Kalani, which is so true, he appreciates everything he does, that he respects him, and that he is very fortunate to have him being the chief of the Ocean Safety Bureau for Kauai. And he said, "You're passionate about what you do, and if it just saves one life, it's made all the difference."
Yep. And that's the hard part. I totally agree with that. And one of the hard parts about doing this work is, like, you don't always know the ones that you prevent. You don't know all the time. You get anecdotal stories and stuff, and people tell you, oh, I got this information, and or I pulled this kid out, or I knew how to recognize drowning because of some information or whatever it is. And you hear some of those anecdotes, but it's sometimes hard to know how many you prevented. But I do believe very deeply that this work is saving lives. I couldn't keep doing it if I didn't. So yeah. And I mean, he's still out there paddling. Like, I finished in my leg or whatever in 2 hours and 15 minutes or something. And so then we rode drove up to a little bit up the coast and watched him when he passed through Waimea and on through there. So we had the binoculars out and we're watching and watched him go. Yeah, we're tracking him on the tracker, on the
Okay,
Garmin
so
tracker.
we'll talk one more thing. When's the last leg you're going
Yes.
to do? Where is that going to be from where to where?
Saturday I have to get on, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, at the N Willie or Nolly, you have to help
No
me.
Willy Willy.
There's the boat harbor.
No
Yes,
Willy
there.
Will.
That's where I'm getting on. Yep, that's where I'm getting on the boat, and then they'll dump me in somewhere between there and paddle to the
And
finish. So,
he's landing in the same place at Poipu Beach, correct?
yes, I think yes, the goal is, I think 3 o'clock is the estimated time of
So people
arrival.
could
Yeah.
come and cheer him on, and
Yes,
Tyrus and you
amazing.
coming in
Yeah.
to Poipu Beach.
Yeah, I think that, yes, do it 3 o'clock on Saturday. Yeah.
Yes,
So
that is
amazing.
the 31st.
The first.
The
The
first of,
first,
I'm
yes.
sorry, 1st of August. Yes, that's right.
Yes, first of
Okay.
August. Yep.
Saturday, August
So,
1st, you can see Kalani, Viera, Tyrus, and Alyssa Magrum come in. To Poipu Beach. Okay, that's great.
Yeah, I think the more people to welcome him in is would be amazing. What it's reminding me of is when I watched Diana Nyad swim from Cuba to Florida, and the people on the beach that were just like welcoming her in. I feel like he should deserves that same type of welcome. So
I agree. I agree with you. Okay, so people can still go to the Hawaii Lifeguard Association under Paddle for Life, and they give $2, $5, or $5,000. It's a big deal. And as Allison Schaefer would say, who wrote our water safety plan, and you're holding it up, is that at least there's much more conversation. There's much more things going on. You see it all the time now. They're talking about rip currents here. They're talking about being safe all over the place. And with Deep Dive into Water Safety, we've been talking with people all over the world, and it's been really great. People want to share what's going on, and we all know it's a global issue. We all travel, right? We should all know what's going on in any part of the country. And I just think what you're doing, Alyssa, is great work. I really appreciate it. Is there anything else you'd
Thank
like to
you.
say before we
Oh,
drink?
just no, I think I just thank you again for being a cheerleader and for having these conversations. I think the conversations are what spurs other things to happen. And I love to talk. So like I love to talk with anyone. I will talk to anyone about this issue because I'm passionate about it, but I really enjoy the deep dive conversations because I think there's not a lot of places where we get to have them. So thank
No.
you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. And I'm going to introduce your friend and partner, Norm Ryder. Norm, this is a kind of exciting stuff because for the Kauai Lifeguard Association, one of the things we take care of is rescue tubes. And people talk all the time about Dr. Monty Downs, who's part of our board, who decided this would be something to have because we have so many unguarded beaches. And so if we had something out there that could be used, this could be beneficial. And Bridget Velasco, who was part of a study, went to a conference in Australia and presented about the rescue tube success on our island. But there's really no concrete data on it. We can't say that we have this rescue tube here and it saved so many lives. It's kind of anecdotal, right? And it would be great to have more information on that. And so I met you as you were watching with Alyssa's daughter and mother who came here as a family event. And I found out from Alyssa, you have a company called Blue Planet DI, which is a geospatial assessment management platform designed to help organizations manage critical infrastructure and field assets through mobile technology, GIS mapping, and cloud-based data collection. This is amazing. And then when I found out about you, because I tried to get some information on you, I was amazed at who you are, right? You have 30 years experience in logistics, technology, and operational management across military, government, and commercial sectors. You've worked on systems that improve accountability, maintenance, and long-term stewardship of public assets. Your Blue Planet DI has applications in conservation, public works, emergency management, parks, and public safety. One of its emerging applications is helping lifeguard agencies manage rescue equipment, such as rescue tubes, by documenting asset locations, inspections, maintenance history, and replacement schedules. That's pretty cool. And
That was a great introduction. Wow.
yeah, but I was just in a board meeting and we had a conversation about what was going on with rescue tubes. And I reached out to Lieutenant Chad Lisman, but he must be really busy because in that meeting, he talked about he's in charge of actually supposedly quote geomapping, but I'm not really sure. And so as our Kauai Lifeguard Association, one of our missions is to maintain and keep track of 100 rescue tubes from Waimea all the way to Ka. And it's been a task trying to figure out how we do that. So tell me, I'm so glad you're here and you could tell us
Oh,
something that's very
absolutely.
important. Okay. Oh, you
What's
have a
this
shirt on.
great?
Let me see that shirt you have on.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's my brand new Hanalei
Good. There you go. You fit
canoe
right in,
club.
Norm.
Yeah, I love it. Fits well. It's really good. Yeah,
Okay.
thank you. And it's so good to be on this interview, Margaret, with you and Alyssa. You guys are just powerhouses in the drowning prevention industry, and
Well,
it's
Alyssa
just an
really
honor to be
is.
on here
She's
with you.
amazing. She came out here and then by magic, he got a $5,000 donation. That's pretty cool.
Amazing, amazing. Yes, that's the Alyssa.
10,000. Oh,
10,000. That's
10,000.
the Alyssa
Oh, I'm
Matt.
sorry. Nothing to do. I had nothing to do with that
That's the Alyssa
donation, people.
magic. I'm a
Yeah, the
believer. I'm a
Alyssa
believer,
magic.
Margaret.
Okay, so tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So as you mentioned, we really focus on helping groups to organize their data collection efforts and then use it for making important decisions. And so, to your point, what we realized and what I've realized is that there's a lot of data out there that's not being collected, and there's a lot of motivated volunteers who want to make a difference. And so what we do is we put platforms into the hands, the literal hands of people, and allow them just to do simple data collection so they can capture what they're seeing. And we do that in different ways. And so for our new Water Ranger program that we launched in May with the National Drowning Prevention Alliance as a partner, what we do is we help enable setting up and tracking different kinds of stations. It could be rescue stations, lifeguard stations, life jacket loaner stations, signage, so that people can track the inventory at each of those locations so they know how many of those different types of rescue equipment, rescue tubes, if they're there. And then we track observations. So then we track what people are doing at those locations. And so really focusing on open water behavior. And it's really what I think of as pre-drowning data. It's like, what are people doing? What activities are they doing in these areas? And what that allows us to do is understand their behaviors. If they're wearing life jackets, for example, if they're in doing dangerous activities. And so then we match those observations to where the rescue equipment or where the life jackets are located, and we can help relocate, help add more to certain locations. And then we can also track incidents. So there's a lot of time where there's near misses where people will make a rescue, but it's a non-drowning activity. So maybe that information's not collected. So we can start looking at trends on behaviors, incidents, and then we can make sure that the rescue equipment and the life jackets are in the right locations, or if there needs to be an education intervention, or if there should be signage put up somewhere, we can kind of pinpoint where these, at times, very precious resources can be allocated.
Well, that's really a good program. So tell me a little bit more. You just said that you could track where something wasn't successful. What do you mean by that?
Absolutely. So it all be is based on volunteers who can collect data. So, as I mentioned, they
Yeah.
used our Water Ranger mobile app to collect data. We work with local organization like yours to set up the stations. So we've been, as Alyssa mentioned, the Hawaii Water Safety Coalition's action plan. We went and we looked at that plan. We looked at where all the major incidents have been happening, where they trend. And then we also took where all the lifeguard stations are located. And then we matched that up and we started going all around Kauai over the past 2 days, to set up for each beach location where the lifeguard stations are. And then by those lifeguard stations, we see rescue tubes. So we start mapping those in. So we have a geolocation for each. And now we've enabled volunteers to come in and start collecting data on observations and to track rescue tubes and life jackets. So, for example, we were at one location really close to where we are staying, and we went there and There is a rescue tube station without a rescue tube, so it probably had been used, or the rescue tube station looked like it was damaged. So what we're doing is we're enabling people just to say, "Oh, I see that. Let me put it in here," and then other people will be able to use that data for everything from trend analysis to pinpointing where rescue tubes are missing or where we need more life jackets, for example. So yeah, it's really enabling, and it's exciting because as we see volunteers starting to collect the data, it's very meaningful and people feel very empowered as they do it.
Yes, I've told some people in the morning group that I paddle with, and they were all excited about it. I get anecdotal stories all the time because I have a lot of friends that go to just certain beaches all the time, and they'll tell me about things that are happening, right? But if there was a way that they were a water ranger that they could report it, it becomes real life data. That is
Real
really
life data.
excellent. So I can't. This is magic to me, Norm. This is like the best pilot I could imagine doing because we have something called Watchtower, which the lifeguards are using to collect data. And as you know, we don't have enough data. We don't have specific data. And to get more resources, to get more funding, you need good data. You have to be able to say,
Absolutely.
this isn't working here. We need something here. So this makes absolutely total sense. And of course, you couldn't talk to Kalani about it now because he's on a mission. One man, one mission, 100 miles.
I
But
know that's a lot of miles.
he's a man of collaboration. And I can't imagine that my board wouldn't think this is great. This is like, sounds
That's
like,
good. I love hearing that.
yeah.
Okay, so yeah.
I want to enter into this conversation because this is so exciting on so many levels from the standpoint of like trying to do drowning prevention work all the time, but not having a lot of data to
Right.
inform the interventions, is so knowing that we can, this Water Ranger program can collect some of that data to help inform decisions and the observations that are coming in from Water Ranger volunteers. We've been doing some piloting of this in our community in Lake County, Colorado, on
Yeah.
our lakes with life jacket loaner stations. And the practical application of this there was that we were starting to set up loaner stations because there were two drownings last year. And so we're trying to figure out with search and rescue and the sheriff's office and the health department and volunteers, our lake water safety task force, where we should put up life jacket loaner stations. And we were unable to get the permission we needed from the Forest Service this first year to put permanent life jacket loaner stations in. So we decided to put up mobile ones. That was the best thing because now we're letting the data that our Water Ranger volunteers collect tell us where we need to put those life jacket loaner stations. So, for example, a particular campground on one of the lakes is very busy with people stand up paddling and kayaking and putting their things in the water. But so we're going to shift where we thought we were going to put one of the life jacket loaner stations over to that campground because we know that there's more usage happening there. So that's like a very real practical application,
Right.
as is the example Norm gave about the rescue tube missing from where it was supposed to be. Like that
Exactly.
would, yeah. So this is so exciting from a data, like a level up of like we try to use data to make decisions on programming, to make decisions on interventions. And so having more data that we can get from the Water Ranger program and the app is amazing. I mean, when we were coming here, I took the map of
Yeah.
from the Hawaii Water Safety Plan that has the black spots and the hot
Right.
spots. And that is what we used to figure out where Norm set up all the locations and matched those also up with the lifeguard towers where they are on the island. And so yeah, as he mentioned, we've been getting out at every single beach and doing all the things in the app. And it's very exciting. It's fun too. It's kind of like geocaching, that old school, thing we had did years ago. But I'm excited about this from the level up
Right.
standpoint, from we need better data.
I agree with that totally. So getting down into the
It's a
weeds of this, what
oh
how do you
yeah.
become a water ranger and what does that mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one cool aspect of this is it's really helping with the water safety culture, right? So it's helping to mobilize volunteer groups, and it's real easy to become a water ranger. What we do is we partner with local group, and the important thing is it's organic, it's local, because we want to give that energy to the volunteers. And so we take them through a simple training. The mobile app is out there and available to download. But working with those local organizations, we want to make sure that they have an organization that they can work within. And so we set that organization up with their stations, their locations that they want to monitor based on the bodies of water. And so we have certainly beaches as body of water. We also have lakes and we have rivers. So really focusing on the local organization's bodies of water and the very kind of in some ways unique aspects that they're dealing with their own water safety journey. And then we mobilize those volunteer groups through training to become water rangers. It's very straightforward, simple training. The mobile app is very easy. And then what we do is we set up that organization with dashboards. So as you're collecting data, you can help monitor your volunteers and what data they're collecting. You can monitor the hours that they're putting in. So you always have that data that you want for grants, right? Like how many hours, how many volunteer hours have you been using? And you can also then track trends in both observations and your basically resource usage. So your rescue equipment, your life jackets, and things like that. So what it takes is volunteers. It's almost like an adopt station program. It's like, hey, I'm going to adopt this beach, or and I'm going to go out there a couple times a week. I'm going to get my eyes on something. Or Alyssa said you could gamify it like geocaching. Like, hey, I'm going to find that rescue tube and I'm going to report if it's still there, or if it's if the signage is still readable, or is it still in the proper place where it needs to be deployed the next time, so the key is to have these volunteers that become water rangers, and they can take ownership of these different locations.
And so then they download this data into a site that, let's just say I was in charge of this and I would get to see
Absolutely. Yeah. That's great.
people.
Yeah. Absolutely. So the mobile app is a data collection platform, and you can see data in the platform. But what we do is we work with you and your organization or organizations like you. We provide you a dashboard so you can see all the data that's being collected in a way that makes sense to you. And so you can start looking at trends. You can see trends over time, trends between locations. You can see if, there's supposed to be rescue tubes at all these stations and if there are any missing. So, and that's all empowered by your volunteer base, your water rangers who are collecting all this data. And it takes passionate people who want to get out there and collect the data and spend just a little bit of time. It doesn't take a lot of time to collect it, but it takes that on-site observation. And it also matches back to your watermen, to all the people who you have as watermen in your group who can really interpret the information. So they can start making decisions and say, hey, if we have funds to put in 10 more rescue tubes, where should we put them? Or, hey, we want to put in another life jacket station here, but we've been having a hard time. Like, we know we need it, but we've had a hard time justifying it. Well, now you have the data to do it. And so we're enabling you through dashboards so you can look at all those trends and then do analysis based on the data that all your water rangers are collecting.
So who does the analysis? Where are the trends? Is that something you provide with the software, or do I have to magically do that?
Well, the software helps. It's somewhat intuitive, but we can always come in and help and interpret it with you. So what we'll do is, as we get organizations who are interested in mobilizing their group with water rangers, so with volunteers, we'll set you up with the dashboards. We'll set you up with training so that you can not only your water rangers can understand how to collect the data, but you can understand how to interpret it and look at it through the dashboards. And I think once you get into it, it's very intuitive. It's like, oh, people are doing these activities. And oh, people, we have this percentage of people wearing life jackets. We have this many rescue tubes or this many life jackets at these locations, and we have this many missing. So our whole point is to help you take actions. So you'd be like, oh, I have 10 missing rescue tubes and I know exactly where they're located, so we need to get some more and put them out there. Or, hey, this life jacket loaner station is missing infant size, and we're seeing a trend where, infants are going without life jackets. It's typically what we see on the other side. Usually the adults are not wearing life jackets,
So we're getting the data
but
to
you can
support this programs we need.
absolutely,
Yeah, because right
absolutely.
now we have in Kauai Lifeguard Association people just going to certain beaches and looking to see how the rescue tubes are. But it's not anywhere. It's not in any database. It's just somebody reporting, yeah, I'm checking on this. So this is
So we'll provide
miles
you
better.
geo.
Miles better.
Yeah, we'll be able to. You'll be able to see where all of your rescue tubes, where all your rescue equipment. If you have life jacket loaner stations, we saw one at Na Willy Willy at the marina. There's a life jacket loaner station there. You'll be able to track all those things, see where they're located on your maps. And then you'll be able to drill in and see what your inventories are. And you can aggregate that, or you can look at the local level. So, we allow you to collect the data, but then use it in many different ways that work best for you.
Well, I think this is exciting. You have something going in Eleuthera and where else? Where?
We're piloting, as Alyssa mentioned, in Colorado. And then we have in Colorado, it's different, right? We have these beautiful lakes in the high mountains that are super cold, but they get really windy. So we don't have these big, beautiful swells and crashing waves, but we do get white caps because the wind gets so intense, and then the water's so cold when people fall in, they can their body reacts differently than they're used to. I mean, we have 60 degree, 40 degree water, like it's really cold. And so we're piloting in Colorado. We also have a pilot group in Texas, around the Dallas-Fort Worth and Austin areas, which is great, with the Texas Water Safety Coalition. And then, we'd love to pilot here in Hawaii.
I think you should do it in Kauai, definitely. So
Amazing. It's a deal.
it's a discussion ship with Kalani. I'll have it with the Kauai Lifeguard Association because that's our mission. And we will continue this conversation, Norm, probably with some kind of Zoom about how we get go forward with this. But
Sounds
yeah,
great.
okay. Can I say something about the observing behaviors piece? So you have the rescue equipment piece, but then you have the observing behaviors piece. And I think that is a really amazing, I'm a sociologist. My undergrad was in sociology, so I was trained to watch people. And like when you are logging people's behaviors in the app, you can in that those observations can then inform what types of educational programs you need to do too. Like I know yesterday we were at a beach to go unnamed right now, but the lifeguards had just put up a sign that said like dangerous surf, like no swimming. I watched three people go get in the water right behind the sign. And so, yes. And so it was like, oh my gosh, observing that behavior, thinking, okay, how do we better, I don't know, you just the observing the behaviors and logging them and documenting what people are doing or not doing can really help with prevention programming. I mean, that's the part on the observing behavior side that I'm really, really excited about this, the Water Ranger
I
program.
totally agree with you, and people will tell me that, and they could see it, but they have nowhere to send that data, right? There's no central place to put it to be able to collect it and do something meaningful with it, right? So that's great. I think the two of you together should come
Margaret,
on and propose this.
the beauty is it's all common sense data. It's like what people see and they want to do something with it, right? And
Right.
so we just enable energy, and it does feel good. And to Alyssa's point, like being able to collect data on what people are doing, is so important in this industry, right? Because like we need to know where we need to put more resources, or where we need to put more signage, or where we need to take action. And
Right.
so that's what I love about this. It takes data and it creates action. It takes energy and data, and then it creates action. And
I like it.
that's going to make a difference. I know it.
All right. Well, I'm going to sum this up by saying, Alyssa, I'm going to see you, I guess, on Saturday coming in at Poi Pu with
Yes.
Paddle for Life with Kalani on his journey. One man, 100 miles, one mission, right?
One
And
epic man. Yeah.
yeah, and people can still donate because it's for the cause of drowning prevention and everything Hawaii Kauai is trying to do to keep people safe, visitors and locals, and try to bring the drowning rate down. We have the second highest drowning rate in the United States in Hawaii. And
Yeah.
Kalani takes it very seriously. I take it very seriously. And so do all the lifeguards and water safety people here on in Hawaii. And for you coming and
Yeah.
joining this mission was great. It just elevated it so people on the mainland would know about it. So I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, and I want to honor and acknowledge the families, especially the Hawaii families that have been working so hard on this, whether it's Allison Schaefer's or Shirley Derego or Jesse Horner, just the families who have courageously told their stories to help save lives. I mean, I know those are friends of mine because I work in this space and they become friends. I know that they're encouraged to share their stories as part of this puzzle. You guys are doing amazing things here in Hawaii, and I'm just really honored to get to be a part of it and to have these conversations. So keep inviting me back.
I will. And Norm, I think this Blue Planet DI is amazing. And we need to do a pilot here. It just sounds
Thank
perfect
you
for
so
us.
much.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we'll
Yeah,
keep this
we're here to make the
conversation
difference.
going. And I think this is great. And I'm sure Kalani will want to hear about it and Kauai Lifeguard Association. So we'll
Great.
be in touch. Thank you both so
Awesome.
much. Norm
Thank you,
Ryder
Margaret.
with Blue Planet DI and Alyssa Magrum, Executive Director of Drowning Prevention Alliance, who is here to paddle for life with Kalani.